I wonder if James Lehman had been listening to his dad, or to his granddad, or grandma. It's true, isn't it? Men of a certain age are grumpy. He was 14 years old when he wrote this poem. It was spring. But it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colourful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child. But it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and respect. I was 20. But it was 30 I wanted. To be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged. But it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. My life was over. I never got what I wanted. Do you remember Mick Jagger? I can't get no satisfaction. I'm sure you know the story of the pilot and the co-pilot. They're flying together. The pilot looks out and says to co-pilot, "See that lake down there? I used to fish in that lake, sitting in a boat. When I was in the boat, every time an airplane came across, I'd say, 'Do you know what? I'd love to fly an airplane.' Now I look down and think, I'd love to be down there fishing." It's true, isn't it? You know the story of the two teardrops flowing through the river of life. One says to the other, "Why are you crying?" "Well, this tear is because I've lost the man that I loved." "By the way, why are you crying?" "Because I've got the man that you loved." Jeremiah Burroughs called this passage the rare jewel of Christian contentment. Rarer than the crown jewels. Contentment, principles, promises, and praise. Let's follow in the Bible, shall we? Chapter 4, verse 10. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." Principle number one, joyfulness. That's the theme of this epistle. Not superficial grinniness, not born in the month of June with no silver spoon to help me out, nothing artificial, not phony baloney, not let's just grin and bear it, but a deep-rooted joy, not found in circumstances, not found in people, found in Christ alone. He reiterates this theme. I rejoiced in the Lord. In the Lord, in who he is, in his sovereignty, in his glory, in his faithfulness, in his kindness, in his mercy, in his grace, in his faithful provision of all my need. I rejoiced in the Lord. And not only is there a principle of contentment, but it's a principle of real life in Christ. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. Second principle, thankfulness. Isn't that true? You've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Look at verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Do you remember what's happened? The whole reason why the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church is because they'd given him a gift time and again. They'd entered into partnership with him time and again. What's more, they'd sent Epaphroditus with some gifts too. And Epaphroditus had come to encourage the apostle there in prison and brought gifts. And Paul says, these are like fragrant offerings unto the Lord. It's wonderful. And I am so thankful. Thankful for your concern. Isn't that good? Thank you for your partnership. Isn't that good? Thankful for your gifts. Isn't that good? You know, thankfulness is a principle of contentment. Do you remember at school? You'd sing, thank you for every new good morning. Thank you for every fresh new day. Thank you that I can cast my burden wholly unto you. It's good of us all to learn that good morning prayer. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for this new day. It's never been lived before in the history of the world. It'll never be lived again, and I'm alive. Any day above ground is a good day. Thank you. But here he says, I'm so grateful for your concern. Thank you that you're concerned for me. Thank you for all those gifts that you sent me, for supporting me in partnership in the gospel. Thank you for your love. You see, the Apostle Paul loved this church, didn't he? Didn't he? He called them my beloved. See, there should never be some tension between a pastor and his people, between ministers and members. There should be love, real appreciation, real affection, one toward the other. I'm so grateful for your concern. I'm so grateful for your partnership. I'm so grateful for the gifts. Sending Epaphroditus all this way to Rome just to support me in prison and bringing those gifts which are a fragrant offering to the Lord. Thankfulness. You see, there was a man, said John Bunyan, some thought him mad, but the more he gave, the more he had. That's true, isn't it? And generosity and thankfulness for other people's generosity is a mark and principle of real contentment. Number three, not just joyfulness and thankfulness, but contentedness. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. Abundance and need. I've learned to be content. What a beautiful phrase that is. What a principle to live our lives by. Whether I'm empty or whether I've got plenty. Whether I'm in want or whether I've got wealth. Whether I'm low or whether I'm high. Whether things are really going and I'm abounding, or whether things are really struggling big time. I have learned, in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. Number two, promises. These are wonderful promises. We could have had, I was speaking this week to Mike, saying we could extend this series just looking at the promises that are found here. Here's some wonderful promises. Listen to this. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What a promise that is. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What a promise that is. You remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress? It's a wonderful story. Here they are, Christian. They're in a prison. They're in the clutches of giant despair. They're being beaten up by Diffidence, his wife. And they're in a prison, and the whole prison seems to be closing in. We're never going to make it, says Christian. Oh, wait a minute. There's a key. It's the key of promise. By the promises of God, they open up the prison doors and they go again onto that way to the celestial city. You and I need to build our lives upon the promises of God. Here is Paul being joyful. Here is Paul being thankful. Here is Paul saying, I'm content. Where does that strength come from? Some people look at this verse and say, I can do all things. It's down to me. It's down to my attitude. Down to my outlook. It's down to my positive thinking. I can, I will, I must, I shall. There is strength in fortitude, but it's not the way to joyfulness and thankfulness and contentedness. Look what it says. I can do all things through Christ, through him, through his strength, through his presence, through his grace, by his help. I can do all things through him. He strengthens me. Though the outward man perishes, inwardly I am being renewed day by day. It's his strength. It's his sufficiency. I was reminded of an old hymn I used to sing. I love the hymn. It's beautiful. It was written by a Welshman called William Williams. And it goes like this. Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient, beyond telling is his worth. In his name lie greater treasures than the riches found on earth. Such abundance is the portion with my God. In thy gracious face there's beauty, far surpassing everything. Found in all the earth's great wonders, mortal eye has ever seen. Rose of Sharon, you yourself are heaven's delight. Where is our sufficiency? Where is our strength? Where do we find this ability to be joyful and thankful and contented no matter what? It's found in him. Isn't it? What did Jesus say? Yes, sometimes I have to get the pruning knife out on your life to cut away all that rubbish so that you can grow and bear more and more fruit. But listen, said Jesus, without me, you can do nothing. Contentedness is not found in self-sufficiency. It's found in Christ's sufficiency, in knowing him, walking with him, submitting to him, loving him above all others, allowing him to take control, to give you his strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And look what else. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, says Paul, I'm delighted that you're sending me Epaphroditus, and I'm delighted for all this gift and all this support. I didn't need it, didn't ask for it, but I'm delighted that you have. And it's like a fragrant offering to God. But listen, I want you to know this. And build your life on this promise. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not every greed of mine or yours, but every need is hand supplying. Every good in him I see, on his strength divine relying. He is all in all to me. Remember Abraham and Isaac? The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. He has promised. He is faithful to his promise. What a wonderful, wonderful promise that is. I think I've told you, many of Christian men and women who've done exploits for the Lord have proven this promise over and over again. God's work, done God's way, will never lack God's resources. Please, please, when I'm dead and gone, do not allow anybody to ask for your money. Do not allow a collection plate to be passed around. Do not allow it. God's work done God's way will never lack God's resources. Yes, we have a responsibility to give secretly, gladly, hilariously. That's fine. But don't beg, and do not beg the world for what God has promised and constantly fulfills that promise. What promises? They're the secret of contentment, aren't they? I can do all things through him. He strengthens me. He is the all-sufficient one. My sufficiency is in him. If I'm abounding, it's his provision. If I'm not abounding, it's his will. And he'll meet my need, whatever it is, wherever I am, whatever it is that I'm facing. Wow. Amazing promises. Number three, praise. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, what we win with prayer, we must wear with praise. That's true, isn't it? Look, here's reason to praise God. Our God. I mean, just take that phrase, our God. Not some God distant, beyond the Andromeda galaxy, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, that we can never know. He's our God, personal. Not only so, he's my Father, our God and Father, in this intimate, personal, relational concept of God. Not only his transcendence, but his immanence. He is the God who is in us by the Spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our God, our Father, who is glorious. Remember what Moses said? He is glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, the God who does wonders beyond our greatest and most glorious thought. And his glory is forever and ever. And when eternity has come to an end and then begins again, his glory will go on and on and on. Yet this great and glorious God is our God and our Father who art in heaven, our guide even unto death, the God who saves us, the God who keeps us, the God who will take us through the valley of the shadow of death and bring us from the shadow lands and into the glory land. Amen. Amen. Principles. Promises. Praise. I love the song of Rhea Miller. You know the story behind it. George VI goes to Canada. All the pomp and ceremony that goes with a royal visit. And he meets an Indian chief. His name is Chief Wifebrother. And Chief Wifebrother asks if he can sing a song to the King of England. And this is the song he sings. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than of riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. The rare jewel of Christian contentment found in Christ alone. Let's stand and sing.